that are stated or implied with regard to our responsibility. And we're just thinking of words, maybe, just individual words, or it could be phrases or whatever, but that's what we're putting down here, okay? So I'll let you go for a little bit and think, but then I'll give me trying to coax you, if, give you some hints if we need that. But what you can look at the text, you can look at on the left side, you can look at the points on the right side. Okay, the idea of come together, and I'm going to put a word down here, assembly, yep. This is something that God is requiring of us, is getting together. Assembly is not an option, okay? Even, we didn't talk about it here, but I remember on my first pastorate, I hadn't really read a lot before then, but I remember people would refuse to take communion because they were wrestling with something in their life, and it's like, we're commanded to take it. We're never not given the the choice. We're supposed to take communion, and we're supposed to do it in a right way. Okay, so there's that right relationship with the assembly, but we're to assemble. So assembly is a responsibility of ours. And God never says, okay, if you've had enough, quit assembling. There was one community I was in where quite a few people were in the town that didn't go to church anywhere, that had gone to good churches because they just didn't, you know, feel like they wanted to put up with it anymore or whatever. And it's like, that's not an option. It's kind of like divorcing God in a sense, you know. And it's like, no, that's not an option. God's option is to assemble and what? Work it out, right? And that sometimes is a very hard, long process. What else? Feedness, is that dark enough you can read that or not? Okay. What else? Yeah. Elisa said, consider others. And that could fall under several point of these points here. But consider others. We talked about the fact that we do not come together, we do not assemble together for ourselves. Now, we receive benefit, but that's not the purpose in which we come. We come together to consider others, just like Jesus did. When you come together to eat, it's not the Lord's Supper, because he, on the same night he was betrayed, took bread. Okay, and did all these things for other people. We come together for other people. You don't come to church for yourself. You come for other people. And that's why we looked at Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. Let us consider one another to stir up love and good works. By the way, the word stir up could be agitate. You know, everyone's called to spiritual agitation. No comment, Ted. You're there to encourage people, to kind of stir them up, to get them uncomfortable in a sense, so that we can love better and serve better. We get us out of our comfort zone, and we need other people to do that. But we're here to consider others. We come because of other people, not because of ourselves. It takes church out of the consumer mentality. What do I get out of here? And it says, I'm here, I'm part of the body of Christ, and therefore I'm obligated to care for other people. And it changes our whole perspective. What else? Consider others. And I might put down here, it's an IT word, a community. You know, we're part of a group. It's not me, myself, and I. I'm not the center of my universe. We're in it. We're part of the body of Christ. What else? Yeah, that's good too. You know, Annie said, be part of the solution, right? How many churches have problems? Okay, I was just, I'm guessing. You know, they... Be part of the solution. The idea is, too, even to hang around and work through a solution. in my history of 20-some years of pastoring, you get all kinds of things, but it's like, you know, I don't like it the way we do this, or you do this. And it's like, well, it's not a you, it's a we thing. You know, it's like, I don't think we're friendly. Okay? And I don't perceive that, but what are you doing to be friendly? you know, it's because it's not you. It's not a consumer thing. It's a we thing. You think we need something? Well, let's filter it through the Word of God, and then if it's affirmed by the Word, let's do it. And maybe that's why God revealed it to you. Okay? Be part of the solution. And again, hang around and work through the solution. Most people divorce their churches and move on. We live in an age of divorcing churches. I've shared with years ago, I had friends, Lynn went to school up in Waterloo, that there was four key churches in the area, and I think it was three in Waterloo, and they said most everybody there had been in every other church because they get mad and they just keep rotating. And it's like, you know what? Guess what? If there's the issue there and you move on, what happens? You're still an issue. And guess what? If you're part of the issue, you're just taking that with you too, right? You never learn to fix the problem. You never learn to deal with people to the point where you resolve the problem. God never says, bag it. He always says, you work on it till it fixes it. You be part of the solution, right? Okay? Deal with it. Be part of the solution. And that takes time. And by the way, the solution here is you're not there to fix others. You're there to fix yourself, right? You know, it's like, have you ever thought that maybe you're part of the problem too, you know, kind of thing? So, what else? Excellent. Some of them are more implied. How about this here? I mean, just as we look down here. Yeah. There'll be troubles. I'm trying to think of a word here. But like, maybe have a biblical view. I can put perspective. But have a biblical view of church. I'll put church. And we're talking about church as the people, not the building again, right? But have a biblical view of church. Trouble is part of life. Trouble doesn't make a bad church. What makes a good church? That they respond to trouble in a biblical way. Not that they have trouble. Not that they don't have trouble. What makes a biblical marriage or family? It's not that they don't have trouble. It's that they deal with it on a biblical basis. Yeah, definitely pray in there. That probably isn't brought up directly here, but the idea is the Lord has to direct us in every way, right, Mar? Right? Yep. And sometimes God doesn't... I know this sounds maybe sacrilegious at first, but sometimes God's already told us what to do, so we don't need to ask. We just need to read it. Does that make sense? He's already told us, when you come together to eat, what? Wait. We don't have to pray about that because God's already told us, right? So good. Judy. I saw your lips moving and I didn't hear anything. I'm like, it's not working. I was like, right. That's the idea. If you stick around and deal with it, even in your own life, your own family and all that, one of the things that I shared with, I'm changing jobs. Okay, I'm going to another company. One of the guys came in and asked me about it. And I said, you know, I honestly, you know, it's been good for me. It's made me have to work in a scenario that I wouldn't do it this way if I was in charge. You know what I mean? And it helped me to learn about myself and learn to be humble enough to keep on a course that I'm not the boss. Okay, so... But it does. The troubles have the biblical view of church, and then let God grow. And I'm putting you because you could be in capitals because it's you, your family, your church. Okay? And then put through the problems. Okay, you learn to deal with them. You learn to fix them and all of that. And I don't know about you, but it, at least in my short life, there's stuff that I didn't even know I needed fixed. When I was 25, I wasn't aware of it. It takes time. You know, there's a process. And then just because you're aware of it doesn't mean it's fixed, does it? Anyone ever have like a muffler fall off your car? I mean, you're aware of it, right? That doesn't fix it till you fix it. But at least it, becoming aware of it is part of the process. And guess what? Part of the church is helping other people become aware of their stuff in a loving, stir up to love and good works kind of way. Okay. What else? Annie. Right. Be willing. To examine ourselves. Okay? We have to be able to look at ourselves. Are we part of the problem? And I would say that maybe that's even the wrong way to do it. It's not, am I part of the problem? It's like, okay, what can God do to help me make this better? Am I part of the problem? It sounds so punctiliar. It sounds like it's just a, you know, some kind of mechanical thing. And I don't believe it's that way at all. It's like, God, what can you teach me through this to help me grow and other people grow as well? That's probably the way we answer, you know, ask the question. It's not, am I part of the problem as much as, Lord, there's obviously an issue here. How can I be part, as Annie said earlier, part of the solution? How can I grow and change? And how can I help other people grow and change through this issue? As opposed to some kind of, you know, check this box off because I quit doing this. You know, it's like, no, it's bigger than that. What else? I think prayer is good because it brings us back to the solution, the ultimate solution, right? Yeah, it's like, you know, and we talked about this even in the authority thing. It's like if God's the ultimate authority and you have a problem with your husband or your pastor or whatever, you know, there's someone there that can do something about it. You know what I mean? God's the ultimate authority. And say, Lord, and by the way, you're praying with an attitude of humility, saying, Lord, I may be dead wrong with this. I think I see a need. I think I see an issue here. Lord, I'm not in a position to be able to do anything. You can help with that. And also, you don't have to wait for a problem to pray for people. Valerie was pointing more in general, I think, in that way. You know, just pray for us anyway. Right? So pray for one another. Lord, I don't like this person. They get on my nerves. Help me to love like Christ loved, right? Help me to examine myself and see the pride that's in me, to think that somehow I'm superior to them when I know I'm not. I had to approach the cross just like they did, right? So definitely, God ultimately enables us. Anyone else? Marv. Yep, waiting on the Lord. Again, ultimately, we find, I'm going to put this in maybe, it's probably right here too as well, but find our foundation in God's truth. You know, ultimately, we keep pointing back to the Lord. He's the one that we need to build our perspective on His truth, not our, you know, looking at our circumstances or whatever. Okay, Jesus was in the boat during the storm sleeping. You know? Let's go get in the boat and go over to the other side. And it's like he wasn't bothered because he was going over to the other side. The storm is not the point. Jesus was in the boat and he said he's going over to the other side. You know? So, but find our foundation in God's truth. There's one other truth here that you can see that we haven't talked about a whole lot. We did bring it up, but the idea that we, as often as we do this, we show the Lord's death till He comes. The idea that we need to have a forward, let's see here. I'll just put look ahead. That was the sermon title for last week, I think. Look ahead. But we need to look ahead. We need to be looking ahead and because that has to do with motivation, why we do what we do. And it also has to do with purity. The Bible says, we looked at it last week, those that the person that has this hope in him purifies himself because he knows he's going to be accountable. Okay? So that idea too, but just the idea then of the responsibility of being pure before the Lord, because that is a community responsibility too. The Bible says you can defraud one another in the area of purity if you're not careful. So, all right, let's go back now and let's just review. What did we say the bread was? Jesus said this bread is my body, right? So then I'll put bread, and it pictures his body. I'm not going to say equals his body. The bread doesn't become Jesus' body, okay? But the bread pictures his body, which is his sacrifice, right, ultimately. But his body is also then all of the believers that are baptized into one body, that are obligated to one another, to serve one another. We're one bread, one body, okay? So there's a tie-off there, the responsibility to serve, to care for, to consider, and all of that. And then what's the cup? Yeah, it's the new covenant. It's not his blood. It's the new covenant in or by his blood. So this is the, let me get another color here. This is his payment. And I'll use a big word here first, but this is his procurement. This is what he paid. This is what he gained for us. Okay, the new covenant is all the blessings that come from that. All right, so it's not a cup of blood that we're drinking. It's to remind us of the covenant that was sealed through his blood. Okay. And then again, all that all goes, it points back to believers again, what he's done to accomplish. Because of the joy that was set before him, he went to the cross. What he was able to accomplish, that he could pay for our sins, and then we become part of the body of Christ, become part of his family. So those are the two key ideas. But it all stems back to how are we to be like Christ. Christ gave his body for us, and now we're part of Christ's body, and we're to be just like Christ in that way. We're to give ourselves for others. And then also to learn and take advantage of the new covenant, to learn and grow and change to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. All right? Questions or comments? Before we pass around the bread and the body, the bread and the cup, we're not passing on anybody's body today. Okay. We haven't done it in here, so we're playing it a little by ear. But if I'm looking at Jim, Lynn, are you able to? Okay. So we'll have Lynn and Jim come. And then I'm going to have Joe. And Ben, would you help us today? Okay. If you would just go in the back. Jim, if you want to just leave those in the back and I'll just have them grab them in the back. I'm going to go wash my hands because I have bread, okay? So I'll be right back here. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do so very much thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, you gave your only begotten Son so that we could
experience our relationship with you anew. Lord, he gave his own body as the sacrifice, as the payment for our sins, and we thank you for that. And Lord, now we understand our obligation before you to be him as well, to be his body as we live in his resurrection power, to be considering one another in that love and good works that you've called us to. And we pray, Lord, that you would just help us to be Christians, be those that are like Christ as we live this life. And thank you, Lord, that you have shown us that problems are part of life, but that Jesus has brought the solution to the problems. It takes time, it takes effort, but you, in your truth and in your enablement, help us to live in the midst of one another and care for one another, even in our faults and difficulties. And we just thank you for that. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's go ahead and partake of the bread here. What's the cup stand for? Yeah, the new covenant. The new covenant is all the privileges, the procurement, what Jesus gained by his blood. He sealed the deal, so to speak. It took him dying to do that. But all the things that we have, a commonness in the Lord Jesus with the Holy Spirit, we have direct access. We have the Holy Spirit that teaches us as well as enables us to pray. Forgiveness of sins. We have adoption of sons. There's easily over 50 things we could list with all the smaller things as well. But let's just pray and thank the Lord for that. Lord, thank you for what you accomplished through the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord, that you would help us to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus and all that you have accomplished through him. And I pray, Lord, that we would not be satisfied just to be saved, but, Lord, that we would grow in that salvation and change to be like Jesus because of all that you've enabled us through his death and resurrection. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's drink our juice here. And you can just set your cups anywhere you feel like it. Gentlemen, thank you so much. Let's turn our hymn books to... Sorry, I don't. 753. This has to do with it. Do this as often as you do this. Do this. You do this. Show the Lord's death till he comes. So this is the last one here. Jesus is coming again. 753. Let's stand and sing these three verses as we finish up for today.
Trouble all past.
Jesus is coming again. Coming again. Coming again. Maybe morning, maybe noon, maybe evening, and maybe soon. Coming again. Coming again. Oh, what a wonderful day it will be. Is coming again. Trust you're encouraged today by the study on communion, and I hope whenever you hear communion, it doesn't make you dry or bored, but makes you excited about what the Lord has done and how He has enabled us to obey Him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word, and thank you for your people that you've redeemed through the blood of Jesus Christ. We pray that you would just help us to walk in step with Him and in His steps as we seek to obey Him and seek to just please you in everything we do as we desire to live for you because we've been saved by you. Lord, help us to be that light and salt in our day this week. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.